Right, there was one final point over here in this sugya, and the Avira Mabez, which really is important. We should spend time, at least a few minutes here today, discussing it. Again, let's just look back at where we started in the Avira Mabez. The Gemara was commenting on the line in the Mishnah. That a person who creates, a person who creates or is contributes towards creating something which could cause damage, is obligated to pay for the entire damage, even though he was only a contributing party. And the Gemara told us in the Afiyud HaMadalaf that this is referring to a chayfer bar tisha, a person who digs a pit which is 9 tefachim deep. Someone else comes and digs it, the 10th tefach, ha'achron chayef. Only the last one is chayef. And this is not like Rebbe, Udoloka Rebbe, because Rebbe's opinion was a chofer partisho, ba'achav eshimu la'asara, I'm sorry, ha'achron chayev, Rebbe omar achron misach, ha'shem le'nizikin, that even though only the last one who dug it to 10 tefachim deep is chayev for, if someone falls in and gets killed, but when it causes damage, both parties were contributing in terms of creating the pit, and therefore both should be obligated to pay. And the opinion of the Chachamim is that no, the person who dug it to the 10th tefach is the only one who's obligated to pay, not only for Misa, but for Nezikin as well. And that's what the Mishnah is referring to. However, because it's not according to all opinions, and there's, it's a pretty limited statement in the Mishnah, it's not the best preferred explanation. We would prefer to find something that could be explained universally. So therefore, the Gemara goes through a few possibilities. And finally, we arrive at the Yudam Abayz at the end of the Sukkah, where the Gemara suggests a final possibility. Why didn't we say that the line in the Mishnah is discussing the following case? Vesulekav ha'ika hadesanya, let's say it's referring to the scenario that's discussed with the Brice of Hikala Asar B'nai Adam. 10 people hit this poor victim, but Eser Maklos with 10 sticks. Bein b'bas achas, bein b'zeh harzeh, whether all at once or sequentially, one after the other. Kulan paturim, they are all pater. Rabbi Huda ben b'dasi pin of the Chachamim. Rabbi Huda ben b'seiro, emer b'zeh harzeh ha'achon chayiv. If they did it one after the other, the last one is Chayv, and they shakir vis misasa, b'katal up, and they shakir vis misasa. Because he's the one who brought about, ultimately, his demise. So you see, according to Rabbi Yehudim and Beseira, even though it was only, there were other people who contributed here, the last person who delivers the final death blow is the one who's Chayv. So don't you see, that perhaps this, the one person is only a contributing party in terms of the damage that was caused, and unless he bears all the responsibility. So why don't we say that our Mishnah is referring to this scenario where 10 people participate in the killing of a person and only the last party is chayiv, according to Rabbi Huda ben Misera? That's the Gemara's question. I don't know how this is preferable to the first approach, the first suggestion, which is also not universal, and that's why the Gemara ultimately rejects it. But the Gemara says the first thing, b'katala lo kamari. No, first, erst, we're not talking about Dine Nefashos, we're talking about Nezikin. Vibai say, Mepukta lo kamari. Well, I'll tell you that this is not universally accepted either. It's only according to Rabbi Huda ben Beseira. Below, the Gemara says, okay, but why is this machlaikes between Huda ben Beseira and Chachamim worse than the machlaikes that the Gemara initially settled on between the Chachamim and Rabbi? Vokimna the lo karebi, lo kamari. Vokimna the lo karebi. You yourself set up the Mishnah. The lo karebi. So the Gemara answers the lo karebi uchurabanan mukminan. Yes, we're willing to entertain the possibility that the Mishnah follows the opinion of the Chachamim and not Rebbe, because that's the majority opinion. Rebbe Yehuda ben Beseira velo karabanan lo mukminan. We don't want to say that the Mishnah is talking about the das yachid of Rebbe Yehuda ben Beseira and not like the opinion of the Chachamim. And therefore, the Gemara settled on the boar test, which was dug later by one person to the boar yud, that he bears all of the responsibility according to the Chachamim, even not only for katala but for nezikin as well. What is the basis for this machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira and the Chachamim? So if you look in the Gemara Masechtas Sanhedrin, Rashi quotes it here, explains what they're arguing about. Look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin, quotes the same machlokes. So here, Oisal on the sheets, Tanur Rabbanon, Hiko Asar b'nei Yodim be'asara machlokes, 10 people hit somebody with 10 sticks, umeis, and he dies. Bein b'basachas, bein b'zeachar, whether all at once or one following the other, Peturin, that's the opinion of the Chacham. Rabbi Huda ben Beseira, Amar b'zeach hazeh, achron chayev, that if it's one after the other, then the last one is chayev, and they should kiv as misasa, he's the one who delivered the death blow. By the way, according to everyone, if it was all at once, You're potter. I have to explain that. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan v'shnei mikra echadarshu. They both derive from the same pasuk in Parshas Emor. V'ish ki yake kol nefesh adam. If a man will strike the entire soul of another man, meaning he'll kill him. So Rabbanan Savri kol nefesh adika kol nefesh. You have to kill the entire person. Not that you are a contributing party. Okay? So if it's Bezerah Chazer, or even if it's Babas Achas, or Babas Achas, even if it's Bezerah Chazer, you're a potter. Even though you delivered the death blow, someone else participated here. So Kol Nefesh Adika Kol Nefesh. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Savar, Kol Nefesh Kol Duhu Nefesh. No, this could be interpreted just the opposite. Not Kol Nefesh, the entire Nefesh, Kol Duhu. Any, even a partial. You know, killing of somebody else is punishable, or is culpable with capital punishment. Kol nefesh, kol duhu nefesh, any nefesh, meaning even this includes even an ubar, ubar would into capital punishment, but even a person who's one day old, we'll get to in a second, a person who's been alive for one day already is a kol duhu nefesh, been alive for one day. If you kill him, so you're a murderer, and it would be punished accordingly. So Sotov over here, kol nefesh, kol du nefesh. Even if you kill the person partially, you would be you were a contributing party. Also, one could be liable for murder, and that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. But everyone agrees. I'm sorry. If is bebas achas, everyone agrees. If it's bebas achas, everyone's potter. Whether you darshin ish kiyak kol nefesh adam, that you have to kill the entire person, not just your contributing party, or you dash like Rabbi Beseira kol du nefesh, even a partial contributing party, that you're chayv, is a murderer, you're liable for taking the life of somebody else. But if it was all b'bas achas, so then everyone's off the hook. Why should that be the case? So look at Rashi over there in Sanhedrin. Zuck Rashi, miu heichadi kol b'bas achas. Lo katlin leku, according to everybody, the ish kiyak amarachmana velo shnayim sheiku. It has to be, one person killed him, not two, or one person is liable for the death of somebody else, not many people. So even according to Yehuda ben Beseira, the chayv for killing a kol dehu nefesh, who's chayv here? All 10 people? No. Who's chayv? The guy who delivered the death blow. But you can, Rabbeinu Peretz phrases it over here above a comma slightly differently, Rashi and Sanhedrin, but basically saying the same thing. That is that it's nefesh tachas nefesh, not shtei nefashos tachas nefesh. You can't have two people that are obligated for the murder of one person. So it's kiyak amrach one bo shnayim shiku. Yeah, Benji, what do I say?
If you have 10 people that sing one person, there are only certain spots on the body that are basically going to cause the person to die anyway. Like, you can't have 10 people hit the head. Like, it's not possible. The head's too small for 10 people. So, only 3 people would hit a head, let's say. 2 people would hit a neck, and then, I guess, 3 people try to hit, the heart or whatever it is. And those are the 3 spots that someone can kill. But, someone that hits, his leg, he's not going to die from a whack to the leg. So, I would think that the people that only hit, the lethal areas, those guys would be high. But people that hit, the non-lethal areas, the leg, wouldn't be high.
You can't have 10 people hitting a guy with a stick at the same time in the head?
Yeah.
It's not possible?
It's a long stick.
I don't think so.
Maybe not 10. What about 5?
5, maybe.
Okay, so 5.
But even so,
same principle.
Yeah.
And also, what about the liver and the heart and the... There's a few things that'll knock you out pretty quickly. Yeah? I don't know. I'm not a forensic scientist. Yeah, probably. Yeah, what was it?
According to this, if you have 2 acts that can be potentially fatal, since we can't do the autopsy, which one's higher? Meaning someone stabs him in the heart, someone shoots him in the head.
At the same time?
Same time.
Yeah, so they're all off the hook. The question is why? Rashi says, because kiyak and nefesh,
right, that's why the last one, the guy who did the death blow. But if 2 people can potentially deal with death blow, Rashi would even say that they're both potter because we don't know.
He didn't say because we don't know.
Because you can't.
Rashi here said kiyak and nefesh, v'lo shnayim shiku. Both delivered the death blow. If that's anatomically possible or forensically possible, I wouldn't know. we would probably need a forensic scientist to tell us if it's possible that two people could deliver a death blow simultaneously. But that's probably right. But even if Lama Zogin, that it's possible, it's only one person, nefesh achas nefesh, not shtei nefesos, tachas nefesh achas. However, look at Rashi here, Bava Kamma. Rashi here says something else. I think most people are jumping to that conclusion. Rashi here says, Pturin, she'en yadua al yedei minerag. There's only one death blow, even though they all hit him at the same time. But we don't know who delivered the death blow. Was it, Reuven or Shimon? So it's a suffix, so none of them are therefore considered to be the murderer. Okay. So we have two possible explanations. Rashi here says, maybe it's a steer in Rashi, maybe not, but Rashi here seems to say, we don't know which person delivered the death blow. Rashi in Sanhedrin seems to entertain the possibility, even it could be the two people delivered the death blow, but nefesh tachas nefesh, not nefesh, shtei nefashos tachas nefesh, or as Rashi phrases it, deish kiyakam rachman velo shnayim shiku. Has to be one person is liable. You just can't have two people on the hook for the murder of one person. Look at the Rambam. The Rambam, when he addresses this, seems to point us in one direction or the other. Look over here at the Rambam. The Rambam writes in Perek Daf Hilchos Ritzei Halacha Vav. What do you say about the following situation? Two people push a guy off a cliff at the same time. Do we know who killed him?
No.
Both of them. There is, even if you'll say there can only be one in blunt force trauma, there can only be one, death blow. If both people push him off the cliff, they both participated. So look at the Rambam. Rambam quotes this halacha. Kura, sir, b'nei yadam b'asar makles. Umeis. And he dies. Be'en shikur b'zerach hazeh, be'en shikur kulon, ka'achas kulon peturim. This is the Rabbanan, the Rambam passes like the Rabbanan of Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira, not like Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira, that if whether it's one follows the other all at once, Kulam Petur Mimisas Bezen Shenemar Kol Nefesh Adam Achia Echad Shaharik is Kol Nefesh. So Rambam says it has to be Echad Shaharik Kol Nefesh. One. Then the Rambam goes on, V'hu Adin L'dachvuhu Shnayim O Shekavshuhu Shnayim L'sok Hamayim. The same would be true if two people at once drowned somebody or pushed him. Or there was a mob and one arrow came out from within the crowd. So look at the Kesef Mishnah. How does the Rambam know this is true? This does not appear in the Gemara. Says the Rambam. Says the Kesef Mishnah. Masha Kosov. The same is true with regards to two people who push the guy off a cliff. Pashut who? It says Pashut. Midamrinim Gemara, the time of the Tanakam Mishum Dechsiv, Yish Kiyake, Kol Nefesh Adam, Kol Nefesh Adiika Kol Nefesh. Meaning that you have to kill the entire person alone. It can't be that someone else participated. So who is that like? That's like Rashi in Sanhedrin. Kiyakam Rachman v'go shnayim shiku. You can't have someone else participating. Ki ish kiyaka kol nefesh adam kol nefesh adika kol nefesh. You have to, the one person has to have killed the entire person. Can't be that someone else participated. Stay for the Rambam. It says, even if two people push a guy off the cliff together, potter. What do you say about the following situation? We all are holding one big stick, and we hit somebody together with the big stick, with a bat. And?
Pater.
That's what you would have said.
Unless you want to say that someone's koach, that's... Well, what kills the person.
Why would you say pater?
Because it would be like this in Gemara. If it's kolam v'lasechas, then it'd be pater. You won't know. It's a group effort. It's not one person giving the final blow. It's everyone giving the final blow.
Look at the Rashba. Exactly the Rashba here. Ois Gimel. Davlahu ki kua sar bnei elam be'eser makos b'basachas divya kol p'turin. If you have 10 people hit with 10 sticks, one victim, they're all potter. Da'ad kan lo amru abushiku asar b'yud makos. Why does the Gemara give the example of 10 people with 10 clubs? Why not give the example of 10 people with one club? Deleka ish kiyaka kol nefesh. You don't have one person who took the entire life of a halcha kevin shadach puhu biyachad kechad chajvinon lei. He disagrees with the Rambam. If you have two people that push somebody off a cliff together, two people holding a big stick or a club or a bat, and they strike somebody else and deliver the death blow, they're both chayev. They're both chayev. So the Rashba is not of the opinion that the reason why kulam peturin is because you can't have two people, you know, ish kiyake kol nefesh, ish, you know, v'roshnaim shiku, or nefesh tachas nefesh, and not shtei nefesh tachas nefesh. Rather, the Dvar Avram was the Kovna Rav. He was the last Rav in Kovna. He died in the Kovna ghetto during the war. He gave a famous haskama to Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik was close with him. And he wrote a letter to Rav Moshe Soloveitchik extolling the Rav, and it was published in a journal, HaParadeis. It became one of the most, one of the most, when the Rav was coming to the United States to become a Rav, so this letter was published in the journals. Anyway, so he was the Rav in Kovnas. And his Chuvas, the Dvar Avram, he suggests that the Rashba must be of the opinion like Rashi here in Bava Kamma. That what's the reason kulam peturim, if 10 people hit with 10 clubs or 10 sticks, is because I don't know which one delivered the death blow. Someone here, as Benji mentioned, had to deliver the death blow forensically. It's not possible a guy's getting kicked here and getting punched there, that both of the death blow simultaneously. One is the death blow and the other was, you know, ancillary. But if we both hit him together, so that we both delivered the death blow together, we could both be chayv. And don't confuse me, you know, nefesh, tachas nefesh, not shtei nefesh, tachas nefesh, achas. The Rashba never heard of this. No, what? No, kulam peturin? Because we don't know which one delivered the death blow if it's babas achas. But if we all delivered it together, we could all be chayv. Azoy? No, what are you going to say?
It's the opposite of Malach on Shabbat.
Of Shnayim Shasu, yes. We're not getting involved in that. We didn't get involved. It's a much bigger sugya if two people do something together. Called Shnayim Shasu. Let's say we turn on a light together. Who's Chayim on Shabbos? Depends if we needed both parties. What if one of us could have done it alone? It's a much bigger sugya, but at least with regards to this one small point, perhaps we can derive from here that according to the Rashba, it's both of us bear responsibility, because the only reason, kulam peturin, we don't know which one delivered the death blow. Here we do know. Both of us together. Uh-huh. The Rambam didn't say that. The Rambam said if two people push somebody else off a cliff, so they're both potter. No different than 10 people hitting with 10 clubs, but it is different. Because here, we know that both of us together push the guy off the cliff. There's no suffix here. Maybe they'll tell me it's a suffix who pushed harder. But we both participated in pushing him off the cliff. Ah, so why you put it there? Must be that the Rambam holds like Rashi and Sanhedrin. That what's the reason? Kulam peturin is ish ki yakam rachman voshnaim shiku. Yeah? Okay? But this issue, okay, so we have a machlek is here. Why is kulam peturim if they did it by basachas? Is it because we don't know? We simply don't know who to pin the responsibility on? Or is it because ish kiyakim rachman voshnaim shiku, you can't have two people that participate. You have to murder the guy all by yourself. So this might have a ramification. It might be distinction might be felt as well with regards to precisely how to understand the opinion of the Chachamim. Do you have to murder somebody all by yourself in order to be chayiv? Or does it just have to be that we know you don't have to murder the guy all by yourself? When the Chachamim said, kol nefesh adi'ika kol nefesh, it doesn't mean that you have to be the one to take the guy's entire life. It can't be that someone else contributed. If someone else contributed, then I'm off the hook. No, maybe all they meant is, if two people contributed, we don't know who delivered the death blow. Similar to the two, you know, to the machlokas between the two Rashis here, Baba Kama and Sanhedrin. Why did the Rabbanon hold if you have even Bezeh or Zeh, right? So according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, the last one is Chayiv, he delivered the death blow. It's not necessarily the death blow, it was the last one. The other guy could have received the fatal blow earlier, and it just takes time to bleed out. And this guy came along and shot him. But he cut his artery way before. The guy was going to bleed out, but instead of giving him time to bleed out, so he shot him. I don't know if I guess he's the one who killed him. He's going to die anyway. So is the reason that the Rabbanon hold out the Ika Kol Nefesh because we just don't know who to pin the responsibility on? Or did the Rabbanon mean to say that a person has to, in order to be, on the hook for murder, you have to be the only one who participated here? And if there's someone else who participated, so then you're off the hook. Same machlokas as we had with regards to Kulam Peturim, if it's Babas Achas, is that because you didn't murder the guy all by yourself, there was someone else who contributed, but two people pushed him off the cliff? Or is it because we just don't know who to pin the responsibility on? So if we both hit him with a big club all at once, we know, we pin the responsibility on both of you. But if it was Bezach or Zeh, we don't know who delivered the death blow, so we can't necessarily pin the responsibility on anyone. What's the pshat in the Rabbanon when they say Kol Nefesh, Adika Kol Nefesh? No?
When we would say that the most people would be Chayiv, they would all be Chayiv Miso?
According to the Rashba, the 10 people hit with one club, yeah, it sounds like yes. He says, Kechar Chashvin Alei. Yeah, what do you want to say?
If you say Vas Achas, if we're going to hold Vas Achas, every
person's
5 Misa.
Yeah.
Does one straw cover all of them? Or
good question. I don't know. Good question. Okay, but Chavi, you hear the suffix that we have over here within the Rabbanon? What's the pshat? This is the way we pass. Rabbanon Savi Kol Nefesh, Adika Kol Nefesh. Does that mean you have to be the only murderer? The sole murderer in order to bear responsibility? Or does that mean we just, if there's two people participated, we just don't know who's responsible? One person is, the other isn't, we just don't know who it is. So look over here at the Hemshech of the Gemara. Perhaps we'll see this, in fact, Machlokas HaRishonim. Look over here at the continuation of the Gemara Masech to Sanhedrin. The Gemara tells us the following, in the middle of the third line. Amar Rava, Hakol Moedim, Bahoreges HaTreifa Shu Potter. Everyone agrees that a person who kills a Treifa is Potter. What's a Treifa? Yeah?
Someone
who's going to die, good, yeah, general definition.
Within a year.
So by behemos, we know what treifas are. Treifas are one of 18 blemishes, which we have Allah l'moshe mi-Sinai, that will kill the animal within 12 months. Let's say due to advanced medical technologies, we can save the cow with a hole in his lung for 12 months. Would that make the animal a kosher animal? No. With regards to animals, it doesn't depend on doctors. It's Allah l'moshe mi-Sinai. These 18 the blemishes and defects make the animal a treifa, since in antiquity they would die within 12 months. With regards to human beings, so what is considered to be a treifa? So look over here at the Yad Ramah. He has two opinions, and it's Machlok Sapoiskin, by the way. The Yad Ramah, right over here, three lines from the bottom. We're going to get to a concept called Goses, which is also someone who's in who's going to die imminently. So he's asking, what's the difference between a Goses, which we'll get to in 1 second, and a treifa? So one opinion, the Yad Ramah, the last three lines from the bottom, is that a treifa is someone who has, one of the Yud Ches treifos that we find by animals, you find by human beings as well, and therefore presumably the same rule that applies to a treifa by an animal would apply to a treifa by a human being. However, that's the Shidim Kubetz is like that over here in Bava Kama. However, the opinion of the Rambam, this is beyond our topic today, but the opinion of the Rambam seems to be that treifas, at least when it comes to human beings, doesn't depend on specific 18 blemishes or defects, because the Rambam says when it comes to treifas by human beings, it depends on what the doctors say. So if a person will die imminently within the next 12 months, based on what the doctors say, there's simply no possibility that it'll live beyond 12 months, he has the status of a treifa. Others add perhaps slightly, more nuanced approach, and as Ramesh has like this, Rav Salvation, Rav Shefter quotes Rav Salvation like that as well, that a treifa is someone who has a physical damage, meaning a tissue damage, or he's missing some part of one of the organs. There's physical damage as opposed to illness or some other kind of ailment, where there's no damage to any one of the organs. So a treifa seems to be something that's more of a damage to one of the organs. a blemish, a defect, if you will, but it will cause, inevitably, a person to die within a period of 12 months. There is no hope. Not when doctors say there's no hope, but there really is a 5% chance hope. There's literally, it's impossible. It would be a medical miracle for this person. Not a miracle like we say miracle, which means unlikely. It would be literally, you know, impossible for the person, medically, for a person to live beyond 12 months. That's a treifa due to some physical, you know, defect. Not an illness. That's a treifa. Concepts are hard to define because in those times, you know, medicine was different. But that's the way it's been defined by most contemporary poskim. It's two opinions really here in the end of the Yad Ramah, which is interesting. Does it depend on Yurcha's trefos of animals, or is it just anybody who's in a, you know, has a physical, you know, defect which prevents them from living 12 months? Perhaps a machlokas rishonim, which is relevant for other things. But that's our operating definition. Okay, that's a trefa. By the way, so even though a treifa, the Gemara says over here, a horeges, a treifa is potter, which means there's no capital punishment, it's still usser, of course, to kill somebody who only has 12 months to live, it's still usser, and in fact, still an isser reticha. It would still be an isser reticha to kill him, but there is no misas beizdin. Why not? Because he's what's known as a gavra katila. He's a dead man walking. Because he has no possibility at all of living beyond 12 months. That's a treifa. Because of some physical deformity. So it's a gavra ketila, like a dead man walking. So there's no, you know, capital punishment for killing him. But of course, it is still prohibited. His wife is considered to be an eishes ish. And if one will have relations with her, he would be, you know, administered and, you know, receive proper asura. And he did it on purpose. He would receive misas beizdin. If not, he'd have to bring a karban, you know. The guy's alive for many halachas, but with regards at least to capital punishment, we'll have to see with perhaps a few other halachas, he's considered to be a gavra ketila. So let's get back to the Gemara. That was just, you know, a little background. So Amar Rava, come hold him. Vahorigas a treifa shu pater. Again, he's still alive. You can't kill him. We don't believe in that. But if you do kill him, there's no capital punishment. And everyone agrees to that. Bein the Chacham and Bein Rabbi Hilda ben Beseira. But go says bidei shamayim shehu chayiv. And if you kill a goseis bidei shamayim, you're chayiv. What is a goseis bidei shamayim? Someone who is ill and will also not live too long. But the Gemara says it's not an absolute impossibility that he'll live beyond 12 months. It was rov goseis, the Gemara Masechta Zgittin, and elsewhere, rov goseis in lemisa, but there were a miut that would live. If a person is a goseis, he's at the end of his life, so there's, you know, he's kachayu l'chol devarav, you cannot kill him. There's certain halachas that apply. You know, you're not supposed to touch a goseis, you might hasten his death, and if you hasten the death of a goseis, you're considered to be a rotzeach. Okay, so a goseis bidei shamayim, which means bidei shamayim, it's illness from heaven, no human involved, you know, in rendering this person a goseis, and you kill him, you're chayv. Okay, basic rules, background, you have to know this. That a terefa is a person who, according to medical knowledge, cannot live beyond 12 months, simply an impossibility, or he has one of the blemishes that's found by the, you know, by the animals, a terefa, and if you kill him, no misas bezin, he's alive, his wife is an eshetish, she still counts for a minion, but if you kill him, there's no misas bezin, and a goseis, not a person who has a physical, you know, deformity or defect, but rather is an illness, which is going to cause him to pass away, probably imminently, but you never know. You know, these things. Rov goes to Lamisa, but me would live, and therefore, if you kill him, he's not a gavra katila, he's not a dead man walking, some do live. Fine. So then, if you kill him, you're a chayiv. But the machloks in Rebbe Ben Beseira and the Chachamim is not only by 10 people who participated in the killing of one person, Mizach or Zer, but Bas Achas, they also argue about a goseis bidei adam. What is a goseis bidei adam? And that's what they're arguing about. A person who became a goseis through the involvement of somebody else, because of the fault and the actions of somebody else. He's not a treifa, he still has a spleen, and he still has a liver, and all these things are there. But because he received, you know, a number of assault and battery, number of blows, he's not going to make it. Presumably. He might, you never know. Rov goes to Mamisa, but mute live. He's not a treifa, you know. He doesn't have a blemish in his lung necessarily. But he's a goses bidei adam. We presume he's going to live. You know, he's going to die. That's what seems to be the prognosis, and it's due to the fault of somebody else. But he's not yet, not a treifa. So, what is the status of this individual if you kill him? Kill a goses bidei shemaim. Guy's ill in the hospital, and you come along. You know, euthanasia. That's ritzicha, the odds of aloha. You might not have to save, do everything, you know, heroic measures to save him and prolong life when the person is in pain. But to kill somebody out of a, euthanasia is murder in the eyes of halacha and can never be permitted. Okay, so rotzeach, goses bidei shomayim is a rotzeach. A treifa is also ritzicha, but there's no capital punishment. Okay. What is the story with a goses bidei adam? So mar, medamele le treifa. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira compares it to a treifa. I'm sorry, the Chachamim compare it to a treifa. Apologize. Just like there's no Misas Beis Din if you kill a treifa, there's no Misas Beis Din if you're the last guy who kills the Goses Bidei Adam. Nine people came along and smacked a guy with a club, and I came along and delivered the final blow, and now he's dead. I'm not a Ratech. It's no different than killing a treifa. A Goses Bidei Adam is like killing a treifa. No capital punishment. Umar medamile le goyz bidei shomayim. Yehuda ben Beseira compares it to a goyz bidei shomayim. Just like if you kill the guy in an intensive care unit who's still alive and you kill him, you're a rotzeach. So to a year, this guy was in intensive care on the floor. It's true, it's because not of the illness, it's because other people were kicking and punching him. But if you kill him, you're a rotzeach. Umar medamile le goyz bidei shomayim. That's the opinion of Yehuda ben Beseira. So the Gemara continues. Man, the medamele the tray for my time of medamele the goes be shemaim. Why do the Rabbi Yehuda? Why do the Chachamim disagree? The Rabbi Meseira. Why is he considered to be a tray for? Because goes says be shemaim lo save be ma'isa. A person who's ill in intensive care, that's not through the fall, through the actions of anybody else. Ha save be ma'isa. But here, goes says be day adam. Person who's going to die, likely going to die because of the actions of others. You know, it was through an action. So, it's not the same as a ghost of the Shamayim. What about the one who compares to a ghost of the Shamayim? It was through an action. Why does he not compare it to a treifa? Here it was through an action. Treifa, mechatri simonim, holo mechatri simonim. Treifa has organ damage. Or, he's the kana and the veshet have already been severed. Here, all the organs are still there. So the machlokes in the Chachamim Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira extends not only to 10 people who killed somebody, in 10 successive blows, or all at once, it extends also to a person who kills goses bidei adam. Again, just to get the term straight, what is a goses bidei adam? Someone who is in a life, dangerous situation, presumably they're not going to make it. The likelihood is, even the overwhelming likelihood is they're not going to make it, and you kill him. So, if you kill a goes bidei shomayim, it wasn't through the fault of anybody or the actions of anybody, so then you're a rotzeach. If the guy's a treifa, he has organ damage, he's a gavra katila, there's no way he's going to make it past 12 months, absolutely no way. So then you're a patur. What's the story? If a goes bidei adam, the opinion of the Chachamim is, he's like a treifa, you're not chayef. He's a gavra, you're not chayef. The opinion of the Chachamim, and the opinion of Rabbi Meseira is, that you are chayef if you kill him, just like if you kill a goses bidei shomayim. Rabbi said, we hear the machlokes. Yeah, I want to say that.
A little off topic, but if an animal treifa, if one does shechita on it on Shabbos,
chayiv.
It's chayiv even though it's treifa?
Ah, because the guy with ketila. Man of shach, you're asking.
Right.
No, it's a guy with ketila. So you're saying it should be allowed because you didn't kill anybody. No, but it's still Ritzicha. There's no Mises Beis Din, but it's still prohibited. Still prohibited. To be prohibited on Shabbos, too.
Pater of a lesser?
Good question. I don't know. Good question. It comes up by me, not for now. Could speculate one way or the other. Okay, but let's get back. What are the Rabbanan holding? This is the way we paskin. Rabbanon hold, if you kill, it goes is bidei adam. What's it goes bidei adam? Someone who is in a terminal situation, presumably, they might make it out, you don't know, but presumably terminable situation due to the actions of somebody else, and you kill him. So if you kill the terminal patient, was not through the action of somebody else, goes to Bidei Shomayim, of course you're Chayv, you're Rotzeach, you're a murderer. We don't believe in euthanasia. What if you kill the terminal patient who's only a terminal because of the actions of others? Then you're Potter. Why? Chacham compared it to a treifa. What does that mean? Just like the treifa, you're not Chayv if you kill him, so too here too, as well. So the Yad Ramah here has two explanations. Look at the Yad Ramah in the brackets at the beginning with Daikinon. Uman de medamile le tray for my timer, lo medamile le guys de shamayim. If you kill a guys de shamayim, a person who's in a terminal illness, of course you're chayiv. Here you're not. Umifarkin on guys is bide shamayim, lo savi be maisa. A guys de shamayim, no one took action, mekami hochin, before now. In the, you know, the murder of the intensive care patient. Vishtakech kule bi yode dahai. So who is the only murderer? This guy who killed him. Do us Avin about high guys they owe them, but a guys they owe them, other people participated. It's Avin Bay Maisa Mikami Ochin. Before you arrived in intensive care, this guy was on the street getting, you know, beaten up by a gang. Who is the real murderer? It's Avin Bay Maisa Mikami Ochin. Okay, so we don't know. We don't know, or it's not only you. The two possibilities we had before. Is it that there can't be two murderers, or simply, we simply don't know? We don't know. Who delivered the death blow? The gang in the alley, or you? We don't know. So therefore, the Chachamim hold, why is a person who kills a ghost is Bidei Adam off the hook for a capital punishment? Because we simply don't know who is the one who ultimately killed him. And it can't be both of you, because you can't have two murderers for the same person. We could phrase it in one or two ways, maybe. Dover Acher, says the Yad Ramah, another pshat. Goyzis b'dei shomayim lo'osavi b'maisim ikam e'ochi. Goyzis b'dei shomayim. No one took action before now. Va'am to'ochi leka l'mech shavei gavar k'tiwa. Ho'osavi b'maiso k'simani trefa domi. Maybe, no, a whole different pshat. Ghost Bidei Shomayim is just an illness. An illness is never a treif or a gavra ketiva. You never know. Might get better. A ghost says Bidei Adam, someone who's injured, perhaps should have the status of someone who has a physical deformity or blemish or defect. And perhaps he's like a treif that he's a gavra ketiva. Meaning he's not someone who has an illness anymore. When other people, you know, had a role in this guy becoming a goses, maybe a person through injury is the same as a treif, is like a gavra ketila. A whole different shot. So what's going on over here? Is it because we don't know who delivered the death blow? We had a Rashi like that over here in Bava Kamma. We just don't know by Kulin Peturim. Or perhaps, no, it's not that, you know, because we don't know. It's rather because the ghost is Bidei Adam already has the status as a gavra ketil. He's like a treifa. Injury is not the same as illness. Again, there's really three categories of things that could, you know, cause a person's demise. Either, you know, he has a physical deformity or blemish or a defect or whatever you want to call it. Or he got ill or injury. And how should we view injury? Is injury in the same category as illness? And if you kill someone with a, you know, a terminal injury, you're a murderer, or no? Maybe we should say that that's like a person who has a deformity, and there was no way for him to live 12 months. So over here, even though Rove goes, it's in the Misa, and there are some who do make it through their injuries, but already he has the status of a gavra ketila by virtue of the fact that most people will die, you know, in this scenario, will die from their injuries. He already has the status of a gavra ketila. It seems to be a machlokas. Look at the Rashba. It seems to be a machlokas over here in 2 days in the Rashba as well. There's two opinions in the Yad Ramah, perhaps two opinions in the Rashba. Look at the Rashba Baba Kama, who asked the following question. Let's say you have 10 people, yeah, who hit the guy in successive blows. So we said, at that point, after the ninth one, he's a ghost, he's Bidei Adam, he's probably going to die. But someone else comes along and shoots him. So we don't, you know, We don't really know if he was going to die or not. And this guy came along and shot him. So Rehuda ben Beseira says, no, this guy's chayev. As long as you killed Koldu Nefesh, you participated, you delivered the last, you know, final gunshot, you are chayev. The Rabbanan say, no. Hagos says, bidei adam. If you kill a ghost, bidei adam, he's probably going to die. He might not have died. We just don't know. And you came along and shot him. You're not chayev because maybe, you know. We explained you're not chayev. It's like a treif. If you kill a treif, you're not chayev. What's the pshat, though? So the Rashba asks a different question. He asks, why isn't the first one chayev? Meaning, let's say it was two people. One guy beats him up. The other guy comes and shoots him in the head. So we don't, you know, we don't know. But why shouldn't the first person who made him into a ghost is bidei adam be chayev? Vim tomer ken bikua sar bnei adam bebezid. So according to the Rabbanon, the last one's not chayev. They are ma'anu armim sharishon poter. Why should the first one be poter? So even though the last one's not chayev, because this guy was probably going to die, the first one should be poter, because he's probably going to die because of your actions, Yesh Lomar. The shiny awesome, the kevin shiku achar. Umay, since later on someone came and shot him in the head, he actually was barish. Umay's ma'anu sharishon. We just don't know. Did you die from the first guy's beating or from the last guy's gunshot? Vinami, or I'll tell you, but Eden call nefesh adam shetehei call nefesh miyad ishech v'lo miyad shnayim. No, it's because it has to be that it was killed entirely by one person, not by two. He was killed entirely by one person and not by two. So again, is it that we just don't know who's the one who killed him? In which case, you know, if you kill the ghost, it's bidei adam, you're also pater because we just don't know who to pin the responsibility on. Or is it that no, he's already considered to be a gavra ketila? Why? Because someone already partially killed him. So I'm not killing him entirely. It's not all on me. See, when someone else makes him into this status of being a ghost, it's bidei adam, so they partially killed him. So even though he's not necessarily, you know, inevitably going to die. He'll likely die. He's a terminal patient. So he's not necessarily the same exactly as a treifa. A treifa has no chance of living. But this person, you know, is likely not going to live either. And he's not the same as a ghost, says bidei shamayim, who's going to die from his illness when no one else participated, because then there is no other murderer except me. Here, someone else participated. Someone else put him into this state of being a gavra, you know, a person who's likely going to die. So you can't pin it all on me. Even though I might be the one who delivered the death blow, you can't pin it all on me. He's already a gavra ketila. He's already a dead man walking, just like the treifa. So is it because we just don't know who to pin the responsibility on? Or is it because once someone else participated here and rendered him a gavra ketila, you can't pin it all on me? So now all of a sudden he's like a treifa. It's like a dead man walking. Because you can't pin the whole thing on me. As opposed to a ghost of the Shamayim, it wasn't inevitably going to die, it was likely going to die, where you could pin the whole thing on me. So it emerges, two opinions over here in the Yad Ramah, what's the status of a ghost, two opinions in the Rashba perhaps, what's the status of a ghost, says Bidei Adam? Is a ghost, says Bidei Adam, considered to be like a Gavra Ketila? Because someone already put him in this terminal position, and therefore if I come along and kill him, so the responsibility is not all mine, and therefore I'm not considered to be a murderer. Or no, he's not considered to be a gavra ketila, even though someone else put him in a terminal situation. He's likely, you know, likely going to die, but it's possible he'll live. He's not a gavra ketila at all. The only reason that the second person who kills him is not chayv is because I just don't know who delivered the death blow. Was it this guy or that guy? Was it the guy who delivered the beating or the guy who delivered the gunshot? So, however, you hear it's a machlokes, even within the Rabbanan. If you kill a ghost bidei adam, you're pater, the question is why? Are you pater because I simply don't know who to pin the responsibility on, as we started with, you know, Rashi over here, Bon Kama? Or is it because someone else participated here, and then you can't obligate me for the actions of somebody else? So even if I'm the one who actually put him over the edge, someone else participated, as opposed to a ghost bidei shamayim, where no one else participated. Meaning, he has the status as a gavra ketila. He's already like a dead man walking. Therefore, it's like killing a treifa. So look over here. It has a nafka mina. Perhaps, Rav Shechter suggests that perhaps this is the suffix of Rabbi Kiva Eger. This machlokas. Perhaps the subject of the suffix of Rabbi Kiva Eger. Look over here. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the following halacha. Of course, you know, Pidyon HaBen is supposed to be after 30 days after a baby's born. Firstborn of a mother. Assuming she's not a kohen or a levi. The husband is not a kohen or a levi. So, Pidyon HaBen, Let's say the child dies within 30 days. Chevra, any pidin haben? No. Let's say lives 30 days, then dies. Pidin haben? Yes. What if the child is a trefa? So meis haben misoch shloshim, v'afil b'yom shloshim. No pidin haben. V'chein, im nas a trefa, kolem sha'avar olav shloshim yom, eino chayv b'pidin. No pidin haben. And even if you did it, the kohen has to return it. So no pidin haben on a trefa because he can't live too long. What about a goses? Bidei adam? Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, about goses, v'yotzeli horek chayv b'pidyon. Goses, v'dei shamayim, an ill child. There is pidyon haben. He might live. It's not likely, but he might live. So pidyon haben at day 30. What about a goses, bidei adam? He's only in this situation because of the actions of somebody else. So is a person who kills him just not on the hook because we don't know who delivered the death blow, but he's not a gavur ketilah at all. He's not like a trefa. Or maybe no. Maybe someone already partially killed him. And therefore he has the status as a gavur ketilah. Injury is like the same as, you know, the birth defects. A person can't live 12 months over here, even though he's not the same, you know, prognosis. He might be able to live past 12 months. Not likely, but he might. But since someone else already administered, you know, significant injury, maybe he's like a gavra katila, and no pidin haben. Sarachli Ian Ladina, Rabbi Kiv Eger is not sure how we should paskin. So it's unclear, do we treat the ghosts be the other person with injuries the same as a trefa, or do we treat him the same as a person who has an illness? Why don't we administer capital punishment then, just like if you kill someone who has a terminal illness, you're chayef as a murderer, as opposed to here, if you kill someone with terminal injuries, you're not treated as a murderer? So we just don't know whose injuries killed him. It's just, but he's not a gavur ketilah. Maybe no. Maybe a ghost is being other. Is like a gavur ketilah. One person partially killed him. I came along and finished him off, but he was already a gavur ketilah, like a trefa. And therefore not chayv, and you're only chayv for murder if you're the only party who contributed. Yeah. If you, a child who's ill, who could live, you know, it's possible to live more than 30 days, but not likely, or, you know, 12 months. So you have to do pidyon haben. As opposed to a trefa, child has a physical blemish. There's no way the child is living past 12 months. So no pidyon haben. Now, this will depend on modern medicine. But a goses bidei adam, that's where a child received injury. So then Rabbi Kiva Eiger is not sure. Is he like a trefa? That he's like a gavra ketila, a dead man walking, in which case no pidyon haben. Maybe he's like a child with an illness. It's likely he's going to die, but you don't know. So you should be chayv in pidyon haben. You're not sure. That depends. And this machlok is over here. Why, according to the Rabbanon, you putter if you kill a ghost, be the other? Are you putter if you kill a ghost, be the other? Because I just don't know who delivered the death blow, but he's alive. Or no, maybe since someone already partially killed him, he's a gavra ketilah, then why am I off the hook? I'm off the hook because I'm only chayv if I kill someone entirely, not if someone else already partially killed him. But he has the status as a gavra ketilah. The other way of viewing it is, according to Rabbani, you are chayv if you partially kill somebody. I just don't know who killed him. You know, who delivered the death blow, me or him? But he's not a gavra ketilah. So it really emerges, a machlok, is a ghost is considered to be, you know, a gavra ketilah, or is a ghost is really not considered to be a gavra ketilah? And the only reason you're not chayv if you kill goes with the other one, I just don't know who delivered the ultimate death blow. So this will have an afkamina if we just view it in the other way. Let's take it and view it in the other direction. Is it a goses the same as a trefa? I mean, is a goses a gavra ketilah or not? We'll have an afkamina not only, you know, by halachas that we know apply to a trefa, do they apply to a goses? What about halachas that we know apply to a goses? Do they apply to a trefa? So for example, look over here, Tosfos writes to himself, let's need the following rule. Can it be Mechal Shabbos to save a Goyses? So Taisa says, the Goyses be day Adam, a Hargo Potter. If you kill a Goyses be day Adam, you're Potter. As the Gemara says, we just read it. The Rov Gosim Lemisa. Most will succumb to their injuries. Umechalines a Shabbos Olav. But even though if you kill him, there's no capital punishment, do we Mechal Shabbos to save the Goyses? Yes. As the Gemara says in Masechtas Yuma, you find somebody underneath a crumbled building on Shabbos, we will machal Shabbos to save him. Because ein ha'chum b'pikuach nefesh achar harov, even though most people in the under a collapsed building would have perished, we're going to machal Shabbos to check. We machal Shabbos to save A go says bidei adam. Tosis derives from here that you can be mechal Shabbos to save an ubar, a fetus as well. Even though we don't know if a fetus is going to live, and therefore if you kill a fetus, there's no capital punishment. Maybe the fetus was never going to live. Maybe it was an aphel. There's always some percentage that are stillborns. But nonetheless, we mechal Shabbos to save an ubar. Same as a go says bidei adam. If you kill the go, bidei adam, no capital punishment. But you mechal Shabbos to save him, so too an ubar. What do you say about a treifa? Person's not going to live 12 months because of some physical deformity. Can I, or abnormality, can I be Mechal Shabbos to save him? He says, Minchas Chinuch. There's no different than a guy says, Bidei Adam. Guy says, Bidei Adam. There's no capital punishment, just like a treifa. Mechal Shabbos to save him. So treifa, of course. V'tirsu da'avte no neragol mikomokom chil Shabbos lo toy b'zeh. Chil Shabbos has nothing to do with capital punishment. The two don't go together. Maybe in Rai, Mechal Yuma, that'll be guys Bidei Adam, or Hargon no neragol. Even though you kill a guy, you kill someone who's already got, you know, fatal injuries, you're the one, you know, delivers the last, you know, zets. You're not chayev, but we're mechal Shabbos to save him. Him came before Shalhed, me the frame, the gam treif, mechal nefes Shabbos, treif also. However, chaver, there's a problem. What's the problem? The Gemara says, Masech the Sanhedrin, the following. Look over here, I'm bezim abez. Who's another Gavra Katila? We have a few examples of Gavra Katila. One is a treifa, who's going to die within 12 months because of some physical blemish. What's another case of a Gavra Katila? Yeah?
Someone
who's chayav Mises Beis Din. Mises Beis Din, yeah. Or you could have a Rodef. A Rodef. The pasuk says, Ein lo damim. If you kill him. So there's no Misa for that. So the Brisa says over here, I am Beis Din Beis. Taner Rabbanan, damim lo. A child is never allowed to kill his father, even though he comes into the middle of the night with a dangerous weapon, because we never presume that the father would kill his son. So, damim lo, a son can't kill his father, bein b'chol bein b'Shabbos, whether he enters in a threatening manner during the week or on Shabbos. But ein lo damim, other people can kill him, and they're not responsible for the murder. Bein b'chol bein b'Shabbos, whether it's during the week or on Shabbos, you can kill the rodef. So Bishlama Ein Lo Damim Bein B'chol Bein B'Shabbos. Why do you have to tell me Bein B'chol Bein B'Shabbos? Someone's trying to kill you, you can kill them. Because I might have said, just like we don't administer capital punishment on Shabbos, you can't kill a Rodef on Shabbos. Kamash Malon, you can kill the Rodef on Shabbos. We don't administer capital punishment. Meaning, let's say a guy's a murderer, we don't administer, you know, Sreifa or Chenek on Shabbos. You don't do it. So maybe a Rodef you can't kill on Shabbos either. Just like capital punishment, the Gemara comes and says, no, you can kill him on Shabbos. But why does the Gemara say if it's a son and a father, the son can't kill his father, Bein B'chol Bein B'Shabbos? You can't kill him during the week. You can't kill him on Shabbos either. So the Gemara says, Amar of Sheshes, Lo Nitzucha L'Fakeach Alav Es Hagal. No, you needed to tell me that if the father gets trapped underneath a pile of rubble, the son can be Mechal Shabbos to save him. Even though he's a Rodef. Meaning, even though a Rodef is a Gavra Ketila, for most people, not a father to a son, but for most people, it would have been a Gavra Ketila. The son can save him, or other people can save him on Shabbos if he gets trapped underneath a pile of rubble.
The others and the son can save him.
What is this? No. Well, let's read inside. Oh, damim lo, bein b'chol bein b'Shabbos, hash b'chol lo, katlin on lo, b'Shabbos, the son, if it's a father who's chasing the son, so then the son is not allowed to kill him during the week, and he has to be Mechal Shabbos to save him. What if it would not be a father and a son, though? Let's say it would be a Rodef who's chasing me to kill me. Not a father and a son, where presumably he's not coming to kill him, because father would not likely kill his son. It's another Rodef. Guy's coming to chase me, and a building collapses on top of him. So then it sounds like from the Gemara, we would not be Mechal Shabbos to save him. You're not Mechal Shabbos to save a Gavr Ketila, such as a Rodef. It's only the father and the son, just like the son can't kill the father during the week, because presumably he's not going to kill him. He can't kill him on Shabbos either, meaning he has to be Mechal Shabbos to save him. But any other Rodef, would not be Mechal Shabbos to save him.
You do not have to be
Mechal. No. So why the treifa? Why the treifa? Yeah, but the problem is, Tosfos said in Nida that a go says you are. So if it goes to the other, you are Mechal Shabbos. Why? How could it be the Gemara here in Sanhedrin seems to imply that a Gavra Ketila or a Treifa, you would not be Mechal Shabbos to save him? What's the difference between a goes to the other and a Treifa? So if Shechta suggests in the Sefer Bikvei Tzomim, perhaps there is a big difference, because perhaps the only reason we don't kill the goats to be the Yodim again is not because he's a Gavr Ketila. It's because we just don't know who to pin the responsibility on. The guy who got beat, you know, beat him up in the alley, or the guy who shot him in the head. We don't know who delivered the death blow. So we can't administer capital punishment. It's just a technicality. Or maybe no, maybe that was the other way of viewing it. Is that no, the goes be the other is a Gavr Ketila, just like the Trefa. Why then don't we kill, you know, the person who kills him? It's because you only chive if you kill somebody entirely, not if you kill him only partially, just like you're putter for a trefa. You're putter for a goes be the other. So if that's the case, goes be the other and trefa, both Gavr Ketila, so then I can understand why the Minchaskin is derived from a goes be the other Chal Shabbos to save him than a trefa as well. But if we'll say no, that they're different, that a trefa, that it goes to be the other, not a Gavr Ketila. We don't kill a person who kills a goes to be the other, someone who got injured, because we don't know who delivered the death blow. Maybe even though a Machal Shabbos is killed, goes to be the other, we would not be Machal Shabbos to save a trefa. So one final halacha that might depend on this machlokes is with regards to the Mishnah Masechta Saholis. If Shechta has all these points in his Sefer. The Mishnah says Masechta Saholis, Perak Alf Mishnah Vav over here, that other made a Matameh Achetet Seinafsho, person is not Tameh Tumas Meis until he actually passes away. Vafil Meguyad, a few who go says, Zokek Layibum Upotim and Ayibum. If the brother, you know, brother who dies, leaving his wife without any children, she requires chalitza from the brother, or it's the Yibum with the brother. So let's say the brother is a go says. Or let's say, the brother is a go says. A few go says, Zokek Layibum, the wife requires Yibum. And if you have a child who's a goseis, that patters from Yibum. So let's say they leave a child alive who's a goseis, that exempts her from Yibum. Because the goseis is still alive. What about a trefa? So Tosis Rid says the same would be true with regards to a trefa. Trefa is not, you know, if a goseis exempts from Yibum, trefa also. Even though he's a Gavr Ketila. But one could distinguish other. Many poskim can disagree with this Tosis Rid. No. A trefa is a Gavr Ketila. He's not, that doesn't require Yibum or exempt the wife from Yibum. It's only a goseis. A goseis is alive. Why, if I kill a goseis, am I potter? If it's a goseis, but they are done, is because we just don't know who to pin the responsibility on. But in fact, the goseis is not considered to be a Gavr Ketila at all. Yeah.
Why can't we say the one where we say that we.
Hold on, wait a second.
Machal Shabbos is a goseis versus the.